In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Loving, glorious Father, we know in each Mass there's unique graces you want to give us from your Word. Please help us to be focused and be receptive to that Word here today. We ask Our Lady's intercession. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. My dear friends in Christ, you probably, hopefully, have noticed our angel statue here in the sanctuary. Now, the daily Mass goers saw it several days ago when it arrived. And so that's going to be not there permanently, but it'll be put out in the Holy Angels parking lot. Probably, it looks like, maybe early August, mid-August. And it'll be cemented down in. It's fiberglass, so it looks much heavier than what it actually is. But it did take five men to carry the statue to the spot that you see there. And it's not any specific angel. It's not like St. Gabriel, Raphael, or Michael. But it's just representing all the angels. So there's nine choirs of angels. And God, in His great creative genius and love, has given each and every one of us at least one guardian angel to watch over us. And so I'm hoping that through the parking lot and the holy angels, that we have a greater awareness of the angels that are in our lives and to frequently have a course to ask their intercession. And so then another thing, too, I've noticed in the past several days, sometimes some people refer to the angel as she. So angels are always given masculine names in Scripture. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, because their role is that of protector and guardian, right? So, strictly speaking, angels are neither male nor female. They don't have the power to procreate. But so we always refer to those of the angels because of their roles of protectors and guardians in the male. So very good. Now, I want to start now just with a little story. And first, a question. Have you ever felt emptiness in your life? A lot of times people, when they feel emptiness in their life, they're trying to fill that either with money or riches, possessions, creaturely type things. And it's a true story about an advertising executive. She had a very successful career. Everything she could hope for in the worldly sense she had achieved. She had all these possessions and homes and all these different things. But one particular morning, she was at a breakfast business meeting with a colleague, and she revealed that stage. She said, I just have this emptiness. I don't know what it is. I got everything else I wanted, everything that I desired. And he's listening to her. And then he says, well, do you want to fill that emptiness? She says, I sure do. Then he said, start each day with an hour of prayer. She was shocked by that answer. She sort of ridiculed that. She was not expecting the answer. I said, what? Are you crazy? We talk about an hour of prayer. Well, I go to Mass once in a while on the weekends. No. Each day, start with an hour of prayer. And she's like, sort of balking at that. And he said, 20 years ago, I was sitting in your same seat, same thing. Things of the world, I have the titles, I have this. But I felt an emptiness. And I was challenged. Spend 1 hour in prayer at the beginning of the day. And then he said these words of wisdom. You're trying to fit God into your life. Instead, you should be trying to make your life revolve around God. You're trying to fit God into your life. Well, I give God 5 minutes there, 3 minutes, or well, if Mass is convenient on the weekend at the time or place, I could go. Well, if I stop by the chapel, well, I stop by. You're trying to fit God into your life. Instead, he said, you should be trying to make your life revolve around God. Now, what do you think her reaction was? Great turmoil in her soul. Anytime the good Lord, the Holy Spirit, inspires us to become better, inspires us to reform or change something in our lives, there's going to be a turmoil. That's what St. Paul's talking about in Galatians chapter 5 here today. He's talking about the flesh. The flesh is desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other. So anytime we hear that calling from the Lord, come up higher, my friend, we don't want to let go, to go up there. So this is turmoil. So she says, absolutely not. I'm not going to do that. And so she left the restaurant like that. But guess what happened the next morning? She woke up earlier than usual, not by her alarm clock. It was probably her angel that woke up. And I bet you this gentleman, too, he probably got up extra early and said, Lord, please grant the soul grace. She's searching, and she doesn't realize that you're going to help her. But so she wakes up early, and she went to prayer. I don't know if she read the Scriptures, the Gospel, and meditated about it. Maybe she prayed the Rosary. Maybe she said, Lord, I don't know where to begin. Maybe she had a dialogue with the Lord. But anyway, she spent an hour with the Lord. And then she did it the next day. And we human beings were creatures of habit. After you've done it one day, 2 days, several days, all of a sudden the habit forms. And so she does it every day. Later on, she met with this colleague. And he said, "How's it going?" She said, "I took your advice. I have a much greater peace and contentment in my heart. I know who I am, I know who Christ is, and I know where I'm going." It's like, wow. But that truth is something we have to focus on. That we should be trying to make our lives revolve around God. If we don't, there's turmoil, there's chaos, things aren't where they're supposed to be. Now, Pope John Paul II, one of his talks, Blessed John Paul II, he said, "One must be realistic and acknowledge today that there's a deep and pained sentiment in a greater part of today's Christians, that they feel lost and confused, because, you know, the world is so anti-Christian, that many Christians feel lost, confused, perplexed, and even disillusioned. Ideas contradicting the revealed and unchanging truth have been spread far and wide, even sometimes by priests. There's outright heresies in dogmatic and moral fields." And he goes on. "Christians are being tempted by atheism, agnosticism, a vaguely moralistic illuminism, a sociological Christianity, without defined dogmas and without objective morality." Basically, what the Holy Father is saying is so prevalent in today's world, and Benedict XVI said this, and Pope Francis, that basically, okay, this is what the world's thinking. Okay, you have your truth, and I have my truth. Okay, you live your truth, and I live my truth, except like that. But it doesn't work that way. There's an objective truth that's above all of us, not our own subjective reality. When everyone's trying to do their own thing, there's chaos, there's turmoil. And that's what St. James said, these wars that come on the world, because it's turmoil in the soul. So this past week, something that I never fathomed 10 years ago when I was in seminary just being ordained, that the Supreme Court would make the decision that it did about same-sex union. It's like, what? So just for a moment, faith aside, and what I'm going to say about some things from the scriptures here, put the Bible aside and faith and things like that. This Professor Robert George from Princeton University, he said, just put God aside just for a second. He said, just look at this at the natural level. Let's just use our reason. He said, without the marital union, the state doesn't exist. How does the next generation come into existence? The man and woman come together and there's offspring. Whoa. And then he said, if you look like different people who are involved with raising children and know it well, they said, a child is best formed when there's a mother, female, and a father, a male. That the child is going to be much better emotionally, spiritually, right or whole in that. So just looking at that, just by reason. Now when you bring faith in and you look at the scriptures, it's quite clear. So I just want to, there's many, many examples of scriptures. I'm only going to use one here this morning from Romans chapter 1, dealing with this subject. Now St. Paul, he's writing to the Romans, and guess what? Sin's always been around. God created Adam and Eve. And they came to that point where they were making their own decisions apart from God. They had their own truth. We're going to do it. And so St. Paul, again, writing to the Romans 2,000 years later, same boat. He said, this is Romans chapter 1, I'll start with verse 22. He said, some claiming to be wise, no, claiming to be sophisticated, more advanced, modern, with it. Some claiming to be wise have become fools and exchanged the glory of the mortal God for images, things resembling mortal man, the creaturely things. Therefore, he said, God gave them up in their lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. I'll stop just for a second. When it says God gave them up to their lusts, what he's saying is, sir, that you and I, we have a free will. And God, out of his love, will not force us to love him. We have to freely decide. So you picture an image of a father showing the son what way, what path to go. And the son says, no, forget that. He wants to walk into the darkness. So in that sense, he gives them up. I'm not going to force you to come here because I gave you the free will and I'm not going to take that back. And then St. Paul goes on. Because he said, because they've exchanged the truth about God for the lie, worshiping the creaturely things, rather than the Creator. For this reason, verse 26, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural. And the men, likewise, gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men, receiving their own persons the due penalty for their error. And this real briefly, St. Paul goes on. This is the result of this. You know, this is turmoil in the soul. And what happens, there's a baseness of mind. There's a wickedness and evil, covetousness, malice, envy, deceit, murder, gossip, slanders. He said all these different things, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. And it just goes on here, the results of that. So, you know, we have to strive to live in God's truth. There's only one truth, right? God's truth. And faith and reason never contradict. Sometimes there's issues like with the reason, well, if God said he's in the Blessed Sacrament, okay, then he can do that. I'm not sure how, but faith then gets away, but it doesn't contradict reason. So, now, St. Paul, this Galatians, when he says this war that's going on, he said, brothers and sisters, for freedom, Christ has set us free. He died on the cross for us. But he said, stand firm. Stand firm in this and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. He's saying, if you don't stand firm, if you're not striving to live that life in Christ, if you fall into lukewarmness and start fading away, he said, you might find yourself back in the slavery, that yoke of sin. So stand firm. Stand firm. Be zealous about the faith. Otherwise, you fall back into this. So this war that is going on in our hearts. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ here in the Gospel, Luke chapter 9. You have different people come up to him. And one says, he comes into the presence of the Lord, and there's something about Jesus Christ. And this person, wow, the peace, the joy, the contentment I feel in my soul is being in Christ's presence. So he comes up and says, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. Wow. And this is what the Lord says to him. Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. Our Lord leading a mortified life. Where is he going to stay that night? Doesn't know. Oh, he's going to be nowhere to rest his head. There's different cities that won't accept him, like the Samaritan village. That we may, to follow Jesus Christ, we may embrace being outcast, maybe by family members. Maybe we're ridiculed at the workplace. Maybe people, like in the media, know us Catholics. We're being put into a category as bigots. You know that, right? There's been different articles. Ku Klux Klans, Catholics, they won't accept same-sex union, stuff like that. But wait, hold on, we're just using common sense. Faith too, yes. But to follow Jesus Christ, it is going to be difficult, especially in today's world. I think about this. Today, as compared to maybe 100 years ago, we have a much greater chance of being saints. Because just to live basic Christian morality in today's world is something totally against the current. 100 years ago, you know, it was the society was much more Christian, so it was easier. Nowadays, just basic things, basic common sense things, I think, just to live that and to proclaim that by our lives is something that's an affront to society. You and I, by God's mercy, we have the light of truth. But we have to keep that light burning, but not just for ourselves. God does want us to bring that to other people. Now, people who are living same-sex lifestyles, does Jesus Christ love them? Yes. Did he die on the cross for them? Yes. But he loves them so much, he doesn't want them to continue that lifestyle. He wants them to be with him in heaven, in the light, not in the eternal darkness. So we have this. Your family members, relatives, and friends who have fallen to this, pray for them. I think the horror of younger people nowadays, I've heard stories in different textbooks and public schools where saying, well, this is an alternate lifestyle. So some of them, they're giving lies as if it was the truth. We have to pray. So we have this faith. So when we receive communion today, ask the Lord for this grace, that you and I, that you would stand firm in the faith, and that with charity and the Holy Spirit inspiring you, may bring this truth and this grace to other people. So our desire should be every soul we come in contact with, you know what? I want you to be in heaven. I want to be in heaven. So it takes effort. We have to stand firm in the faith. And guess what? We can do it. We can do it with Christ. Receive him here in communion, humbly in our hearts. We can ask him, Lord, grant me perseverance. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.